You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
You might drive through Rich Hill, Missouri, and not remember much. It's a small country town with a population of 1,393. But you can't watch the documentary Rich Hill and see any small town again with the same eyes. Tracy Droz-Trakos has profiled three teenagers who grew up in Rich Hill in a film she directed and produced. It won the Grand Jury Prize for Documentary at the 2014 Sundance Film Festival and opens this Friday at the Village East Cinema. I'm very pleased that she could join us today, along with Andrew Jewell, one of the teenagers featured in it. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Tracy, what made you choose to focus on Rich Hill, of all places?
Well, Rich Hill is my family hometown. It's where my father grew up, and he was killed in the Vietnam War when I was an infant. So my relationship with his parents, my grandparents, was really important to me. They were like surrogate parents to me, and I would visit every winter break and summer, and I loved going there.
Has it changed much over the years?
Yes. I mean, it was never it was called Rich Hill because there was coal once upon a time, and there used to be coal mines. But in my lifetime, those have all been, after World War II, those went dry. But the poverty has sort of, crept in there, and it's gotten worse over the years.
It's a town with that split between people who have money and people who don't have money.
No? Yeah.
How typical is a small town? Is it like would we be likely to find a place like it in any state of the union?
It's very, very average. Yes, it is not unique. It is not, it wasn't a factory town that then went bust. It's very average. And there's the farmers on the outskirts of town who have had farms for generations. My grandparents were people who were lucky enough to have jobs. My grandmother was a third grade school teacher, and my grandfather was a mail carrier. So they were lucky, and because of that, sort of better off, I suppose.
Andrew, you said at the beginning of the film that people in Rich Hill seem to look through you. Do you understand why? Or did you?
Well, it's not just the people in Rich Hill, though. It's I have my own mind state on certain things, and a lot of people don't understand why I seem more mature than others or why I try to act older, so if they say. And a lot of people don't like that about me, so they try to look through me and look past me. And a lot of people really didn't want me to see my family succeed in the first place.
They didn't want to see your family succeed. Why?
Well, I think it started with nobody really liked my folks together. My mom and my dad, they really didn't want to see them together. And a lot of people tried everything they could to separate them, and they didn't. They held their ground, and we stayed together as a family.
And that's because of racism?
I don't know if I'd say racism. I think it's just they thought that my dad wasn't right for my mom, or my mom wasn't right for my dad, or something.
Did all this make you angry or bitter?
Well, I guess I looked at it this way, I seen obstacles coming my way, and I looked to the Lord for advice, and he led me to the road I needed to take.
But Tracy, you produced and directed this film with another person named Andrew, your
yes.
first cousin, Andrew Droz Palermo. Did he also spend time there when he was a kid?
He did. He's younger than I am, but he grew up in Missouri, outside of Jefferson City. So he had the experience of being in the state and closer, but I don't think he spent quite as much. He didn't spend entire summers in Rich Hill. So.
Rich Hill is closer to Kansas City, isn't
it? It is. It's between Kansas City and Joplin.
But would people identify with Kansas City?
Yes.
They would see that as the big city nearby.
Yes, and that's where you would go, to the nearest sort of major hospital or something like that for major resources.
How did people respond when you started filming, showed up with camera equipment and started talking to people?
Well, they were very trusting. I mean, I had made a film before about my father. And for the most part, people really appreciated that film. And so there was trust built in. They also knew that I had put, because it was a personal film, I had put myself through that. So I think, when you're asking someone to share their lives. If they know that you've put yourself through that, there's a bit of trust. And I think it was also in my grandparents' good name. I don't know. You can maybe say what you thought when we – you also thought my co-director was a cop at one point because he's short
hair. Yeah, what did you think – what did you make of Tracy when she first started coming to film you and your family?
Well, I looked at Tracy and I could see that she was a nice gal. And I looked at Andrew and something just kind of told me he was a cop. I don't know. But that's just the way I
was. But he's not
a
cop.
No, he's not. He's not. I did a little bit of research and – I also found one of Tracy's other movies. I believe it's called Be Good or Smile Pretty,
it's
right?
It's Be Good, Smile Pretty.
Yeah. And anyway, so...
Which won you an Emmy?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And, but after that, I kind of started warming up to him, and they're real nice people. And I let them into my home, and I trust them, and they did good for my family.
Did you understand what the film was going to be about?
Not right at first. But I kind of had a view of what it may have been. And, I mean, it wasn't entirely as what I thought, but it's better this way, and I like it the way it's turned out.
You never felt intruded upon? Self-conscious?
What was that again?
Did you feel intruded upon ever? You know, like, I wish they weren't here with cameras right now.
No, I actually felt pretty comfortable. They just kind of seem like family to me. They seem normal to come into my life.
Tracy, how did you choose the three young men you show in the documentary?
Well, we met them in different ways, and I think there was probably a moment for each of them when we kind of clicked. Andrew, when we first met you in the park, I think, you know, he was a little bit kind of posturing and a little bit with his friends and kind of playing the tough guy, and I'm not sure we were as interested in that, but when we went home with him and met his mother and met his sister and saw the love that they had, and all of that tough guy stuff kind of faded away, and we were really touched and knew that we wanted, to give your family kind of a voice and to have a, you know, major part of our film.
Andrew, why do you think you presented yourself as a tough guy?
Well, I've always had to make sure my family was secure, and I'm very overprotective whenever it comes to my family and the friends I do have. So I'm always aware of the situation, and I just want to be cautious at every moment that I can be.
Did you always know that the people you're going to focus on would be boys, not girls?
No, it was...
Just worked out that way?
It did work out that way, but at a certain point, it felt like there was a unique story to tell in the experience of boys, and particularly with the tough guy stuff that you have to get past, and particularly, you know, with the way that I feel like, you know, kids like Andrew are often written off, or people might cross the street if you see them, you know, to say, I mean, I hope not now with your... beautiful new shirt from the Gap, and I'm just kidding.
Well, Apache, one of the other boys, has a really rough exterior, and he yells a lot. Andrew, did you know Apache and Harley at the time?
Yeah, actually, me and Harley, we honestly didn't get along very well, but we didn't know each other's story. And Apache, me and him were friends, but not as good of friends as we were after we seen each other's story.
Apache's mother is kind of rough on him, also loving. Do you think that some of these people are just overwhelmed?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's stress. In some measure, it's also depression. And I identified a lot with the moms in the film. I have two children myself, and being a parent is stressful, but it's particularly stressful when you don't know necessarily that you're going to be able to feed your kids or keep the utilities on or, you know, provide for them. So, yeah.
Well, Harley lives in a double-wide trailer with his, what he says, best family member, his grandmother. His bad record in school attendance is a matter of fearing being separated from her. He has a lot of demons.
Yes, he has a lot of demons, and I think that's part of what, you know, we hope people will be moved in the film to appreciate is that, you know, when kids come to school, there's a whole there's a whole package, and we don't always know what they're bringing with them and you know, their story.
Do you think that one of the reasons that people have responded so positively to this film, other than the fact that it's a good film, is that it reveals a certain part of almost an invisible America?
Yes. And, you know, that was part of our intention, is we really felt like these stories weren't being told or weren't being told in a respectful way. You know, there might be films that or mostly TV and reality TV that kind of get in and get out, and you get the sensational stuff or you get the images. But
you get story films of aimless youth in a small town, and then there's a murder.
But there's not a deeper kind of immersive experience, and we really wanted to take people to this place that we loved and inside families that were struggling, but also had so many resources at the same time.
Andrew, you grew up in Rich Hill, but didn't you move a lot, even to other towns, and then many homes in Rich Hill?
Yeah, Rich Hill was kind of like a home base for my family. Whenever things got too hard, we ended up going back there. And I think one of the main reasons why is because that's where most of my family resides, is in Rich Hill.
Well, why'd you move so much?
Because one of the reasons was my mom. She had degenerative back disease, and she was on a handful of medication that the doctors carelessly gave her, and we were just trying to find her a good doctor, and we wanted a doctor that was going to do what he said, you know, and not mess around.
What did your dad do to make money?
Well, a lot of people didn't want to see him to succeed, and or my family intentionally, and he kind of did odd jobs, and that's all he really could do, and because every time he'd get a job, someone would call there and say, hey, this guy's bad news or something, and they'd make my dad look like a bad person. And, I mean, he still worked hard. He tried, and that's really, to me, all that counts.
Tracy, did you talk to other people in town and find out why they reacted that way to Andrew's father?
Well, I think in small towns, there's always a bit of drama. But, I think in particular, you know, and I don't mean any disrespect in saying this, but I think that, you know, Andrew's family was particularly impoverished, you know, and didn't have a lot of stuff, and would talk about what that feels like to walk around town and need stuff or to have built a home. You know, you talked about at one point that he was building his own home in Rich Hill. They called him the castle builder. But, you know, it was, people made fun of it. Because he was building it by his own hands and, you know, maybe didn't look to code or...
that's commendable for a kid to be doing that sort of thing.
Well, you know, one of the resources that Andrew had in his family is two parents. Of course, his mother has now died, but he had two parents. He had a mom and a dad who cared for him and his sister and had dreams and aspirations, and that's not insignificant.
You've since moved a couple of times. You left Missouri, moved to Colorado. Now you're in Montana?
Yes.
Where next? Idaho?
No, I don't know. I think I know that Colorado is going to wind up being my home, but I'll probably end up moving back to Colorado and calling it good because, I mean, right now, my dad's struggling and my sister's struggling, and my dad is actually kind of looking up to me in a way, and it's just because right now he's struggling with life because he lost his mate. He lost his soulmate.
How old are you now?
I'm 15, turning 16.
And are you still playing football? You lift weights, which would prepare you for playing football.
Well, I was actually thinking about playing football this year, but I don't know exactly how well it's going to go quite yet because my knee is still kind of out of whack. So,
the other thing I would say is that, you know, one of the things that we observed and that is a challenge for you in staying on a team or staying with a coach is the fact that you move so often and that there isn't, you know, a regular teacher who has his or her eye on you or a regular team that you can play on.
And what about friends? Every time you move, don't you have to make new friends?
Well, I've kind of stuck with the motto that God will give me friends, he'll give me enemies, and he'll give the give me people that love me and hate me. And honestly, I just kind of try to keep the ball in my court, and I let them come to me.
What was it like when you first saw the movie?
I tried to view the movie as if it wasn't me, as if it wasn't my life. And I tried to see what image it was going to put out to the world.
Do you feel you've changed much since it was filmed?
Not necessarily. Maybe I may have gained a little wisdom from watching my life and seeing how it was, but other than that, not really.
You were in your first film, Be Good, Smile, Pretty, Tracy, but you pretty much cut yourself out of this one. We only hear your voice a couple of times.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't about us, and I think it felt at some point that it would be denying them a voice and authorship if we made it about us as still somewhat outsiders, even though it was my family hometown. It you know, wasn't where I've been living for the past, you know, 15 years. And so, yeah, and too self-congratulatory somehow. So we're not in it except for the very end.
Well, congratulations for winning the award at Sundance. Made two movies. You've won two major awards. Are you surprised by how people have responded to this film?
Yes. And that's just because, you know, it's a very much an independent endeavor that started in such a small way. And it's incredibly humbling to have it be recognized and to have people see it, and in some ways to have like this story out in such a wide way, this tiny little town. And, you know, we went into this, you know, your home about 2 years ago, and now other people get to go in your home too, as strange as that may be.
Even though you've moved away.
But yeah.
The film opens this Friday at the Village East Cinema, and it's also going to be available as video on demand as of August 5th. And my great thanks to Tracy Drozd-Tragos, who produced and directed Rich Hill, and Andrew Jewell, who is one of the young men featured in it, for being on our show today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.